You might have thought the saga between Attorney General George Brandis and former Solicitor General Justin Gleeson had ended with Mr. Gleeson's resignation. But now another chapter has been written. An article published in the West Australian today details how a legal argument put by Gleeson on behalf of the Australian Tax Office dissolved a $1 billion deal between the federal and WA governments and started the fight we're now all familiar with. Shane Wright is the economics editor for the West Australian, and Andrew Probyn is their federal political editor. It's their story, and I need them to help me understand it. Welcome to RN Drive.
Good evening.
Hi,
lovely,
PK.
Marvellous Cavallis.
This is a very complex story, and yet very important. It's dominated the news today. Can you step us through what your sources have told you on this and why it's so significant? Maybe you start, Andrew Probyn.
Well, look, it is a very, very complex story, and I would encourage people to read it for themselves. But in essence, we're going to that very important point of time in their relationship when the directive was issued by George Brandis that stopped anyone getting advice from Justin Gleeson without first talking to the Attorney General's office. Now, this is a very peculiar case in the sense that we had a long-running litigation involving Alan Bond's group of companies. There's $1.8 billion sloshing out there, ready to be sent in various directions. Some to the ATO, some to the Insurance Commission in WA. But they have to go through this liquidation process. It's taken so long that WA decided that they would take over that that process. They constructed some legislation which they admitted to the Commonwealth had some constitutional issues and sought some help from the federal government. They had an agreement with Joe Hockey that they would help and they would support them. And George Brandis, his part in this was that he asked Justin Gleeson not to pursue certain arguments, which obviously he thought would be fatal to this legislation when this hit the High Court. And but consequently, subsequent to that, Justin Gleeson was his advice and help was sought by the Australian Taxation Office, which of course has different attitudes to certain matters. So you had Justin Gleeson both serving the federal government, which is obviously part of the Commonwealth, and then he was serving another arm of the Commonwealth, the ATO, but they had different purposes, and that is what happened. And so when it hit the High Court, it was a humiliating defeat for the West Australian government. 7-0, the legislation that sought to take control of this liquidation was horribly defeated. Now, this is the origin of the big falling out back in April, May, that saw that directive.
So Shane Wright, what exactly is wrong about the federal government helping Western Australia to recoup some of its losses, particularly from Alan Bond? Because, I mean, if you're going to just see it as just a voter, shouldn't they be recouping that money?
That's exactly right. That's the politics of it. But ultimately, politics also has to work within the law. And in this case, there had been warnings from the tax office, which the tax commissioner, Chris Jordan, his job is actually to protect the Commonwealth tax base. And the Commonwealth, the ATO is looking at, say, it's owed about $300 million, which ultimately would flow through to federal taxpayers. So you have, on one side, there is the effort, and you can understand why the West Australian government wants this gone. This has been going for more than a decade. It's been filling up
more
plenty.
More than 2 decades.
More than 2 decades, and it's been filling up plenty of lawyers' pockets, but with no resolution really in sight. So, yes, that's the political side of it. But then there's the legal side of it, which is you're ultimately, should the ATO, and that's a statutory officer position, it has its own responsibilities to protect the tax base. And they came into conflict, and the ATO has been pretty clear throughout that it had reservations about the WA legislation. As late as just a few weeks before the legislation was finally passed through the WA Parliament, the ATO is saying, look, we still think this is going to conflict with the Australian tax law. But No, off they went, passed the bill, and the next day the creditor, a creditor and a liquidator were off to the High Court, and the tax office joined about 3 months later.
So George Brandis tried to have an influence but was unsuccessful because Justin Gleeson didn't listen, right?
No, I mean, he did listen, but this is where it gets down to what the Solicitor General actually does. Under the Law Officers Act, he does take instruction from the Attorney General. That is one of his roles. He takes instructions from the Attorney General, just like a barrister does. But in the same section which defines what he does allows ministers and officers of the Crown and people who have a position by virtue of an act of the federal government.
And statutory officers.
And statutory officers. So these people can also seek Justin Gleeson's advice or the Solicitor General's advice. However, it's quite clear now that George Brandis thought that his instructions should be paramount. And to some degree, you can understand that they have got, the executive has decided that they will try and pursue this political deal to end what's been a really monumentally expensive litigation case. It's the longest litigation in Australian history, and it's also one of the most expensive. So there are good public policy reasons why you would try and end it. It's probably not going to end for another decade, I might add, PK.
Yeah, never end.
So there is good reason for it, but at the same time, the ATO thought if this is allowed, then taxpayers are going to lose, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars, because what the legislation did was lifted WA as a preferred creditor above the ATO and a couple of others, big creditors.
Okay, so this is a pretty big revelation about exactly why Justin Gleeson and George Brandis had the original fallout, but it's also a huge revelation, full stop. You're both behind it. What should happen now? The Labor Party wants to see George Brandis go. They say this is the final nail in the coffin, that he should now be stood down, that this is evidence of something which is pretty outrageous. How do you see it, Andrew Probyn? Is this the moment where it's kind of, I'm going to use the saying, I want to do it, jump the shark?
Look, I think next week's going to be quite interesting. Of course, they'll be trying to extract some words from George Brandis on this. He's not saying anything today.
So has he issued any statement, said
he's
anything?
He's issued about seven words, basically saying that when it comes to these things, we don't comment on matters of litigation the government's involved in. I think that's a bit more than seven, actually, the way I phrased it.
Journalists.
I tell you what. But they will... I expect the government, the opposition, that is, pursue him in both houses because they smell blood. I mean, he's had a pretty ordinary week, let's face it, and this is not going to help. And they've got 1 week to go. Look, they'll be going gangbusters on this, and I think we've just got to wait to see what Turnbull does in reaction to that.
And marvellous, the other issue is what's going to happen over in WA, where Colin Barnett's got an election next year. The ALP over there is demanding the end of the Attorney General's role over there, Michael Mishen, because of his involvement in striking this consultation, this agreement, this deal. So on both sides of the continent, you're going to have the Attorneys General under a bit of pressure.
And is this a sackable offence? What do you make of it? I mean, is it something that's so serious, Andrew Probyn, that he should fall over it?
Brandis, no, I think that, look, we've had the C word used today against Brandis. They've used the corruption word. Look, this isn't corruption. This is, they've tried, obviously, to sort something, and it's arguable as to whether he could be successful there, given the legislation. I think it's proven that it wasn't going to work. But the fact is the directive was... it looks like that was unlawful, and it's the directive now has been withdrawn. This is the one to basically stop him talking to anyone else. I don't think there is corruption per se. I think what we've got here is governments trying to fix it, but not having due regard to the law of the land.
Before I let you go, there's just another story that's broken this afternoon, which is pretty significant, and that is the Nick Xenophon team doesn't want to deal with anything, won't vote on anything, won't participate in any kind of legislative action in the final week where so much needs to be done, including the backpack attacks needing to be sorted out, until the Murray-Darling Basin issue is resolved. This is kind of ugly for the government, isn't it, Probes?
Look, it definitely is ugly. It just means that the last week is going to be one hell of a scrabble. They're desperate to get that ABCC thing up. I mean, they're not going to have a successful political year unless they can nail that one. Remember, that's what we went to the Double D election about, this ABCC. So they'll be so keen to get it going.
But I would take it under advisement because of Nick Xenophon knows he has a fair bit of power right at the moment, and this is a lot of shaking in the wind. He may have some deals coming his way. So this is a signal that Nick Xenophon and his team just have playing themselves in, and don't be surprised to see plenty of deals done the next few days.
We will be watching. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Always a pleasure.
And that's Andrew Probyn. He's the federal political editor, and Shane Wright, the economics editor, both from the West Australian newspaper, talking us through a very complicated story today about George Brandis, the Attorney General, and also the former Solicitor General, Justin Gleeson. 0418 226 576 is the number you can text on. Wonder what you make of all of the shenanigans coming out, firstly on this story about the Attorney General and that advice, but also about Nick Xenophon saying, I'm not going to do anything until I make sure that I get the water that he says was promised in that Murray-Darling Basin deal. You can tweet us using the hashtag RNDrive, but the number again, get your pen, get your paper or your pencil or whatever you like to, you know, obtain the number with, 0418 226 576.